All right, let's take our Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, I do appreciate Brother Joel and my dad filling in last week while my wife and I were gone. This year is will be our 25th anniversary in June. And So my wife said, instead of waiting till June when it's already hot, could we actually kind of bump it up a little bit and go somewhere when it's cold to somewhere where it's hot? I said, that's a great idea. Get out of this cold weather. So we were able to do that, and so appreciate all those that were filling in for us, but it's always great to be back home. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to be finishing up the book of 2 Timothy tonight. Of course, we were going through this book last year, but did want to finish it up as we've started the new theme of being renewed and going through the book of 2 Corinthians. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 16, and we're going to finish out the chapter here. He says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." So as Paul is concluding the last words that we have of the Apostle Paul, again, we're not certain how long it was after Paul wrote this that he was put to death. But we know it was very shortly after this last letter that he wrote. But as we come again to the end here, of course, he's giving some instruction. He's giving a charge to Timothy here at the beginning of the chapter about preaching the word and continuing and being faithful, and which was our theme last year, and continue. But then as we come here to the end here, in verse number 16, he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." And what he's showing us, of course, as we've looked at this already, back up in verse number 10, he talks about Demas has forsaken him, Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus went to Dalmatia, the only one that was there with him was Luke. He's wanting Timothy to bring Mark with him. He sent Tychicus to Ephesus. And of course, then he warns about Alexander the coppersmith and what he did and the evil in withstanding the preaching of the word of God. And so we kind of feel, as he's writing this last letter, Paul kind of feels alone, right? Again, not, I don't want to say Paul is depressed. That's not what I'm saying. He's alone. Yes, Demas has forsaken him, but not all of these that he mentions have forsaken him. Many have gone on to help in other ministries. But Paul is alone here. And really, as he's concluding here, I think this final encouragement that he gives to Timothy is about a faithful friend. And he says here in verse number 16, he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." And so Paul shows us this thing that every one of us, every person has experienced, and that is the pain of betrayal, right? We've all experienced that, whether it's a Demas that is forsaken, whatever it might be. But when he says that here in verse number 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me," I believe that Paul is probably referring to this. There was a pre-trial that Paul must have had before Caesar and before the officials here to determine the grounds of the accusations against Paul. Of course, when he was in Jerusalem, he had stood before Felix and he had stood before Festus, but now he's in Rome and he's stood before Caesar, and there was a pre-trial, basically just kind of determining the grounds of the accusations and things. And Paul says at that first answer, when he first stood to kind of give his defense before Caesar and before those that were there, Paul, again, felt alone. There was no one that stood with him. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. No one offered a word in his defense. No one came to encourage him. He was just alone. And we kind of feel what he's speaking of here, right? He said, no one came to my support. No one came to my defense. But here's what's really interesting, and I think we see that Paul no doubt feels, again, Paul is a human, just like you and I are. Yes, he is an apostle, and yes, he was able to do some amazing things, the miracles that he did, and God using him to pen about half the New Testament, but he was still a man, he was still a human being, just like you and I. And he still felt the same things that you and I feel. And there is that pain of betrayal that Paul is feeling here, in whether it's about Demas or whether it's just about being alone. But he says, when I went to plead my case and to give my defense, nobody came with me. Nobody stood with me. I was all alone. But here's what's really interesting about it. Paul could have easily allowed that feeling of betrayal to bring depression into his life. He could have allowed that feeling of betrayal to really get him down and just make him feel, you know, sorry for himself and, you know, poor me and all this is happening to me. But I don't think we see that in what Paul is saying. In fact, I believe that Paul is viewing this through the goodness of God. He is choosing gratitude. He is choosing forgiveness rather than bitterness. And we even talked a little bit about that this morning in 2 Corinthians about the one that offended Paul and how Paul says, hey, forgive him. I've forgiven him. You need to forgive him and you need to encourage him. And so Paul is choosing to view this through the sovereignty of God. Paul says, hey, I'm ready, right? I'm ready I'm ready to go. But even though there's this feeling of betrayal and feeling of being alone, watch what Paul says. He says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now, let's face it. If that would have been us, and we're feeling alone, we're feeling betrayed, we're feeling down because Demas forsook us, and there's nobody came with us when I'm standing and I'm trying to give my defense before Caesar, and nobody's willing to stand up, we'd probably be thinking, you know, oh, that person could have, and they didn't, and this person should have, and they didn't, and this person had an opportunity to say something, and they were witness, and they all could have come, but they didn't. And you know what we'd start thinking about them. Right? And yet, here's what Paul says. God, don't lay it on their charge. God, I'm looking at this through your sovereignty. I'm looking at this through your goodness. And I don't know why they didn't do this, but God, I'm asking you not to lay this to their charge. By the way, can I tell you, Paul's not the only one that ever has felt betrayed and alone. He's not the only one. You don't think Job experienced feeling alone and feeling betrayed? We've been reading through the book of Job, right? Think about what he says in Job 19. And he says, my kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. I mean, that's Job said, I'm alone. In fact, and I'm. It's kind of interesting how he says this. He says, my kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Familiar friends are meaning those that are really close, right? He says that my close friends have forgotten me, which makes me wonder, who were the four friends that were there? Right? He says, if my familiar friends have forgotten me, hey, they haven't come. Nobody's checked up on me. No doubt they've probably heard what was going on, but they didn't come. You think Job kind of felt maybe alone? You don't think maybe Mary and Martha felt alone when they sent somebody to go tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick? He comes and says, hey, the friend that you love is sick, and Jesus chooses to stay. No doubt every day, Mary and Martha are looking down the road. Is Jesus coming today? Is Jesus coming today? Is Jesus coming today? Jesus stays 4 days knows that Lazarus has died and says, all right, guys, it's time to go. You don't think Mary and Martha maybe felt a little betrayed, even by Jesus? You don't think they felt alone? You don't think David felt alone? David says something very similar to Job in Psalms 35. And then in 41, he says, mine own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. David says, my own friends, those that were so close to me, they are the ones that have betrayed me. What about Joseph, right? What about Joseph experiencing that feeling of being alone and being betrayed? His brothers sold him into slavery. I mean, yeah, you can talk about what happened there in Potiphar's house and all that, you know, but I think about it, your brothers, your own family sold you. You don't think that would cause a little feeling of betrayal? A feeling alone? By the way, Jesus experienced this as well. In Matthew 26, 56, what does the Bible say? When Jesus was arrested, all of the disciples forsook him. All of them forsook him. And by the way, don't get too prideful and think, well, if I would have been there, I wouldn't have. Because that's exactly what the disciples said before it happened. And they all forsook him. Paul felt this pain of betrayal, feeling alone. But here's where I think he focuses more than anything else. Notice what he says in verse number 17. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul had a lot of friends, a lot of good friends. He talks about these friends. Timothy was a great friend. He talks about Epaphras Erastus in verse number 20. Trophimus left him in Miletum. He talks about many of these others, Priscilla and Aquila. He talks about Philemon. He talks about Onesiphorus. He talks about many others that were his friends. Luke, the physician that was with him through countless ministries and through countless missionary journeys, who was there. He had many friends, but can I tell you something? Paul understood that there was a faithful friend that would be more faithful than any of the friends that he had. More faithful than Timothy, more faithful than Titus, more faithful than any of the other disciples, more faithful than Luke, more faithful than any of these other friends. In fact, the Bible tells us that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And this is what Paul is saying. Even though there was a feeling of betrayal, no one stood with me, and it seems like all men have forsaken me. I love what he says. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I gotta tell you, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible or marked or something, I would encourage you to do that. Because there's going to be times that you're going through things when you feel betrayed and you feel alone and you feel that nobody cares, and you need to be reminded, notwithstanding, the Lord stands with you. The Lord will never leave you. The Lord will never forsake you. Even when you feel like it, even when you feel like everyone else has, Paul says, there is a friend, a faithful friend that you and I have that the world knows nothing about. He is a faithful friend. In John 15, verses 13 and 15, he says, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now listen to what Jesus says. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, wants to call us friends. Not just creation, Not just servants, but he says, no, I want to call you friends. I want you to know I am your friend and you are my friend. Of course, yes, he wants us to obey him. He wants us to follow him. But notice what Paul says about this faithful friend. What does this faithful friend do for us? This is what he's giving this final charge, this final encouragement to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, there's going to be times when you feel alone. There's going to be times when you feel down and discouraged. And there's going to be times when you feel betrayed. But don't forget, there is a faithful friend who sticks with you like no one else. And this faithful friend does some amazing things. Watch what Paul says here. He says there's three things that this faithful friend does. Notice he says, this faithful friend enables the work to continue on. Watch what he says in verse 15. And strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. He says, this faithful friend will never leave you, he'll never forsake you, and here's what he's going to do. He is going to strengthen you, he is going to enable the work to continue through you. That's why he's there. He wants to enable us to do the work that he has called us to do. And this is what he says. Paul knew what his job was. Paul knew that he was to preach the gospel, right? He remembered on that road to Damascus when the Lord came to him and he said, hey, I've chosen you to be a preacher of the gospel, and you're going to go and you're going to preach the gospel all over and even before kings. He remembered that. He knew what his purpose was. And he said, even though everyone else has forsaken, even though everyone else has left me, he says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me for a purpose. There's a purpose. The strength that God gives is not just to raise us out of the dumps, right? It's not just to get us out of being discouraged and just get us back on the road to life. No, that's not it. The strength that he gives us is to continue to fulfill his purpose for our life. And this is what he says, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. His purpose was to preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel was Paul's goal, and he knew that the Lord would be with him to continue the work even to the very end. You understand? To the very end, and Paul knew that the end was coming soon. But he said, even in prison, and until the time that I leave this world, he says, the Lord is going to strengthen me to continue to preach the gospel so that all the Gentiles might know. That's what this faithful friend does. He enables the work to continue on in our lives. It's interesting what he says here. Just think about it, right? He's in Rome. He's been in Rome for probably over a year at this point. And through all this time, he's still preaching the gospel. In fact, Paul tells us when he writes to the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, he says that those of Caesar's own household had come to faith in Christ. He said, I greet you, and he said, by the way, those of Caesar's own household greet you. Let me ask you a question. Why would people in Caesar's household be greeting the church of Philippi? Because they got saved. They were believers. They were brothers in Christ. And they're saying, Paul, hey, when you write that letter to the church of Philippi, you make sure that they know that they have brothers and sisters that are even part of Caesar's own household. And you tell them, we said, hey. But that would have never happened without that faithful friend standing with him and strengthening him to continue the work that God had called him to do. Look, I'm not saying you have to be a preacher of the gospel. I'm saying you need to understand that the faithful friend that is standing with us enables us to do exactly the work that he wants us to do, no matter what that is. For Paul, it was preaching the gospel. For you, it might be being that faithful witness at work and just being a good testimony and trying to share Christ. It might be you being a mom and just trying to say, hey, I'm going to raise my kids to love the Lord and to follow them. I don't know what it is, but God's saying, hey, don't forget, you have a faithful friend who's going to stand with you and is going to encourage you and strengthen you so that you can continue to do the work that he's called you to do. Aren't you glad we have a faithful friend? One that will never forsake us, that he's always going to be there. He enables the work to continue, but notice, not only that, he also is there to deliver from danger. If you notice at the end of this verse number 17, he says, "And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." Think about this. He says, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Now, there's two views on what Paul might be saying here. One, it could be that he's saying that God has delivered him from Caesar so far. Caesar, of course, many of the kings were referred to as lions, but of course, even at that time as well, there was this thing called the Colosseum. And they would take Christians, and they would take convicts, and they would take thieves and things like this, and they would throw them into the Colosseum. And one of the things that they would do is they would release lions and other animals that they would basically have starved, and release them in with these people, and these lions and these beasts would just completely maul them and tear them apart. Paul says, "He's delivered me from the mouth of the lion." But it could also be that he's saying that he's also, we also know that as we look this morning, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Paul says, the Lord has delivered him from the mouth of the lion. He's delivered him from Satan's attacks. He's delivered him from Satan trying to destroy him. Now, look, that doesn't mean life had been easy. Paul spent so much time in prison. Paul was beaten. He was whipped. I mean, there were so many things that happened, stoned and all these different things. And yet he says, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me from the mouth of the lion. And watch what he says. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Now look, Paul's not saying he's getting out. He just said previously, right? He says, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I know I'm about to leave this world." He said, "I don't know the day," but he says, "I know that there's going to come a command from Caesar, and that command is going to be, hey, take off his head." He said, "I know it's coming." And yet, he was able to say, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." Is that a contradiction? He knows he's about to die, but yet he says, "The Lord's going to deliver me from every evil work." It's not a contradiction. Paul knows he's going to die, but he's saying, hey, you know what? It's going to be in God's time. It's going to be according to what God wants. He's looking at this through the sovereignty and the goodness of God, saying, God, I trust you, and I know if this is the time that I'm supposed to go, hey, I'm going to trust you in this. I completely, fully trust you. He says, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Can I tell you, aren't you glad that there is a friend that walks with us and that watches out for us? I can't even imagine the things that the devil would have wanted to do to Christians that God has said, nope, you can't do that. Nope, you can't do that. You can't do that to her. You can't do that to him. Nope, nope, I'm not going to, nope, no, nope, you can't do that either. Nope, nope. By the way, I'm glad God says no. He delivers us. Can you imagine if we were able to see all the things that God has delivered us from? It would literally blow our minds to think, man, the devil wanted to do that, and he wanted to do this, and he wanted to do that, and yet God was the one preserving us. God was the one protecting us. God was that faithful friend walking with us saying, nope, nope, can't do that, can't do that. Oh yeah, there are some things that God does allow to test our faith and to increase our faith, but he is that faithful friend who is there to deliver us from danger. And here's what's really neat. He says, not only is this faithful friend there to enable the work to continue and to deliver from danger, but he says to carry us into eternity. He says, he and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Can I say that phrase there, preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, is a picture of God bringing Paul safely into his kingdom, safely home. It's the picture of God transporting Paul right from this world into the next world. It's a picture of time, unbroken. God preserving Paul right through time into eternity. There's no break in time. You understand? When a Christian takes their last breath, there's no break in time there. Because when we are immediately gone from this body, we are immediately in the presence of God. There's not a break in time. It is a continuous flow of time. It's not something we can truly grasp and understand because we're still on this side. But Paul says he's going to preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. God would preserve Paul right through time into eternity. In one moment of time, Paul is living in this world, conscious, aware, but within the same moment, in a split second, he's transported into God's kingdom. That one moment in time, quicker than the blinking of an eye. In fact, the Bible talks about it being the twinkling of an eye. Not the blink of an eye, the twinkling of an eye. Just hundredths of a second. There's no loss of consciousness. There's no loss of consciousness, no experience or awareness of death, just an immediate entrance into the kingdom of God. In fact, this is similar to what Paul, you know, our theme, go back with me to the Second Corinthians. As we were singing our theme chorus, I thought, man, that really kind of fits kind of right into what we were talking about tonight. He says in verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For which cause we faint, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And this is what Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment..." I don't know what Paul's considering light affliction, but I'd like mine to be extra, extra, extra light. If what Paul went through was light, right? If he's saying, hey, what I went through is just, it's light, I'd like some extra, extra, extra light. I don't want to go through what Paul went through. But he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? That's what he says. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says, look, man, that very moment, we're not looking at things here. We're looking at eternity. And when we take that last breath and we enter into an eternity, there's no stoppage of time. It's just, it's immediate to be in the presence of God. And he continues in chapter 5, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." This is why I believe Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I think you see in Paul's life there is a groaning, there is a desire. God, I really want to be with you. God, I can't wait to enter into your kingdom. God, I want to be there. But I know you want me here. I know there's a purpose that you have for me here. I know there's a plan that you've got for me here. And so, God, I'm willing to be here, but boy, I'd sure like to be there. I tell you, I don't know a lot of Christians that have that mentality. Why? Because we're looking at the things which are temporal instead of the things which are eternal. We're looking at this life as if this life is something special. Look, friend, this ain't nothing compared to heaven. And I know that's not good English, right? But it ain't nothing. So why would we be so consumed and concerned about this life when we have something far greater to look forward to? And this is why Paul is telling Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy, look, I know there's going to be times when you're down. I know there's going to be times when you might feel discouraged. I know there's going to be times when you might feel betrayed and people have forsaken you and maybe things aren't going right and they're just not going the way that you want them to go. But Timothy, let me tell you something. The Lord stood with me. And I know, Timothy, you keep following the Lord, He'll stand with you. And He's going to strengthen you to enable you to continue to do the work that He has called you to do. And He's going to protect you. He's going to deliver you from evil. He's going to watch out for you until that day when He says, child, it's time. It's time. Come on home. And Paul says He's going to preserve you. He's going to preserve you unto His kingdom. Aren't you glad, friend, that you don't have to worry about what's going to happen when you die? Now, friend, maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're not certain of what's going to happen when you die. But I can tell you this. If you know Christ as your Savior, you don't have to worry. If you know Christ as your Savior, He's promised that He will preserve you. He's going to keep you. Because He's the one that does the keeping, not us. It's not us keeping Him. It's a good thing. It's Him keeping us. And He says He has promised. Again, notice what He says there. That He will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you just see Paul? I don't know what his prison cell looked like. I don't know what his prison conditions were. But can you just see him? Maybe there's a stool or maybe there's some type of little table stand or something. And he's writing these last words to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I know sometimes you're going to feel alone. I get it. I felt that way. Sometimes you're going to feel like you've been betrayed. Sometimes people are going to say things about you that aren't true. He says, Timothy, let me tell you something. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, if you keep following God, the Lord will stand with you. And He'll see you through, and He'll strengthen you, and He'll enable you to do exactly the work that He wants you to do. Why? Because He's a faithful friend. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's that friend that will never leave you or forsake you. He's that friend that He's going to watch out for you. He sees every step that you're going to take and He says, no, I'm not going to allow that evil to happen. I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Oh, there might be some trials and difficulties that we have to face, but that faithful friend is going to be with us every step of the way. And He is going to preserve us. He's going to carry us into eternity. One moment, Paul is a citizen of this world. And within the same split moment, he stands before the Lord as a citizen of heaven. Never to have to worry. Never to have to fear. Never to have to feel alone. It's the beautiful picture of a believer never having to taste death. Because He preserves us into His heavenly kingdom. He is with us every step of the way because He is that faithful friend. Can I tell you, that's a friend you can count on. That's a friend we can go to that sometimes when we don't feel like we have anybody else to go to, we can go to Him. And He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we're dealing with. And He says, I want you to know I'm going to be right there with you every step of the way. So Timothy, just be faithful. Continue. You keep going until the Lord brings you home. And can I say, as we're concluding 2 Timothy, friend, continue. Be faithful. Be faithful. Until the Lord calls you home, you just keep following Him. Because you have a faithful friend that will be with you every single step of the way. Isn't that wonderful to know? Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to truly grasp how special it is that we are able to have such a faithful friend. Lord, many times we fail. Many times we do not do what we are supposed to do. And yet you've said you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So God, I pray you'd help us as Paul says these last words to Timothy. Timothy, you just continue on. You faithfully follow God. You faithfully do what He has called you to do. Lord, I pray that we would have Christians in this church that would take that challenge and say, God, I'm just going to faithfully follow you. And there might be times when we feel betrayed, and there might be times when we feel discouraged and all alone. God, would you help us to remember that there is a faithful friend that stands with us and that will strengthen us so that we can continue the work that you've called us to do. Who's watching out for us and delivering us from evil, from the snares of the devil and what he is trying to do to destroy our lives. And that you will preserve us into your heavenly kingdom. Lord, thank you that we can call you our friend, our Savior, our Lord. Lord, would you help us to be faithful to you? I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this evening. Piano's just going to begin playing softly. Maybe tonight there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. Or maybe it'd be just to say, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for being that faithful friend. Sticks closer than a brother. No matter what I go through, you're going to stand with me. You'll be with me until you preserve me into your heavenly kingdom. Maybe tonight it ought to be just to say, God, thank you. Thank you that I can call you my friend. You're a faithful friend. You'll never leave us, never forsake us.